We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is a Locker Room Production.
All right, welcome back to Spotify Green Room. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Malcolm, Pierre. How you boys doing on this lovely Monday night in the middle of the summer in Michigan for me and Pierre, and in Florida for Malcolm? How you boys doing, though, today?
I'm doing great, bro. Enjoying the weather. Had a good holiday weekend. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, we just passed 4th of July weekend. Hope everyone had a very safe 4th of July weekend, had fun, and enjoyed our beautiful country of America. But for today's episode, you know, with it being just passing the 4th of July, meaning football's coming up.
Malcolm, I guess Malcolm's okay. I'm okay too, Tyler.
I asked you. You didn't respond to me.
Pierre went first. I'm doing great, man. I'm doing good, man. But I was waiting.
You left me that awkward silence, so I took over.
No, you're good, bro. I just want to say, finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room. I'm here, everybody. What's up? Anonymous was good, boy. What's up, everybody?
I forgot. That's your little like intro thing now for this thing. So I like it, though. You're implementing some WWE. I like it. You know, The Rock's my guy, so I love it.
You just see me when I'm doing it. Like, I'm smelling the air and everything.
I didn't realize how much WWE you implemented in our show. You have the woos for Ric Flair. For
Ric Flair, yeah, it's
and
coming,
I got
man.
The Rock implemented. I like it. I do like it.
Yes.
So I just mentioned how, you know, past the 4th of July, and, you know, usually, like, after 4th of July is, like, when we start to get more of the football feel, because NFL training camp starts for the Lions, I know, at least July 31st. And then, obviously, like, all of the early August, we got the preseason and, you know, a training camp. So it's exciting time. That's when it's exciting. You know, you're in the football fields. So now, you know, since we're really close to training camp, I think it's a fair, you know, time to start talking about some guys that could potentially be making the roster that are not necessarily expected to make the roster right now. And, you know, some guys that maybe we do expect to make the roster, maybe they don't. And we like to call these guys bubble guys. And, you know, it's a bit unfair to call out people's jobs, but it is our job to talk about it and, you know, talk about competition that's going to be happening in training camp. So with that being said, we are going to be talking about some guys that could potentially be looking out and some guys that maybe could, you know, use this opportunity to make this 53-man roster. So I'm going to start off with Pierre. Pierre, obviously, new regime. There's going to be a lot of shakeup on this roster. There's already been a lot of shakeup on this roster. But, you know, from the guys who were left over, maybe guys who were brought in, who's a guy that you think, you know, could potentially be looking at the out and, you know, could be looking at the bubble of this team and maybe not making it, making the initial 53-man roster?
All right. The first guy I'm going to go with is Austin Bryant. He's entering his third year, I believe, right? Out of Clemson. Out of 32 games, he's only appeared in 10 games. I mean, that's just not good either, right? Your best ability is availability. He hasn't been available this year. I mean, like in his career, he has zero sacks, zero forced fumbles. Like he rarely pressures the quarterback, right? So you got to see more out of Austin Bryant. Even there was concerns about his injury history at Clemson. That's why he fell to the fourth round. But it just seems like he hasn't lived up to that fourth round hype. And also, the Lions added Charles Harris as competition. You got Julian Okwara coming back healthy. So I think Austin Bryant, I don't even know if he really fits the scheme because he's not that athletic compared to the guys they want. So we'll see what happens. But he's a guy that I think is firmly on the bubble and probably, like, not even a lock. I think he's more out than he's in.
So if you had to guess, you don't think he makes the initial 53. Obviously, we'll see what happens in training camp, but if you had to predict right now.
Yeah, if I had to predict right now, I'd say he wouldn't make the roster.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think that's a fair point. I know, like you said, he just hasn't really done much to solidify a roster spot just because you mentioned it. Availability is your best ability, and you know he just hasn't been very available. I thought, you know, there's been stretches and some times where Austin Bryant has looked like an okay football player and maybe could look like a guy who could sustain on a roster. And I think, you know, maybe towards that second half of the season last year when he returned off the pup list, I thought he looked, I wouldn't say good, but like I feel like he had some moments where we're like, okay, you know, had a nice special teams play. I remember versus Minnesota when they had the 2-block punt game. Like, he's shown very minimal moments. But I agree with you. It just hasn't really been enough, and it hasn't been consistent enough for me, you know, to say that he is a firm lock. And kind of like you said, you know, he just hasn't really lived up to the expectation of being the guy that we kind of expected him to be. You know, he was a fourth-round pick, and, you know, usually that's a round where you're not expecting to get necessarily a superstar, but it's a guy or it's a position where you kind of want to get a guy that'll be sustainable on the roster, and he just hasn't been that guy for the Lions. And it's going to be a big year for him. Obviously, new regime. This isn't the team that drafted him, or the general manager that didn't draft him. So it's going to be an interesting situation for Austin Bryant. Malcolm, you got anything to add on Austin Bryant?
He has a lot to prove. You know, he's a guy that, you know, he hasn't done much. I talked about in last week's episode that, you know, he hasn't done much since he's been here. So he has a lot to prove. And he's a guy that he definitely can't take an injury, because one injury from him and he's out the door. I could see him. Like, if he missed some time in training camp or he missed some preseason games, there's no way he makes his roster.
Oh, yeah. No, he needs every single snap that he can get, because he's going to get every single opportunity, you know, that he needs. Like, it's his job to lose. And, you know, if an injury happens, it's going to be tough for him to bounce back for the Lions. So I do agree with that. And, you know, he was just one of those guys that he was on a really productive team in Clemson, a very productive defensive line in Clemson. And some people thought that maybe raised his value. Maybe he wasn't as good of a player as we saw at Clemson. And as of right now, I mean, that stuff is living up to the expectations. I mean, that's living up true right now. I hate to say it, but it is true. I mean, he had a lot of first-round talent on that Clemson defensive line, and he just hasn't really been able to prove himself yet, you know, being in the NFL and kind of being by himself to a certain degree and just not benefiting off, you know, the guys around him. So, you know, it's going to be definitely a huge year for Austin Bryant. I'm kind of like with Pierre. I don't know what the role is for him right now, and I don't even know if he has a spot on the roster right now. So it's going to be definitely interesting to see.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
what happens with AB. But Malcolm, who's a guy you want to talk about that maybe could potentially be looking out, or maybe a guy that could potentially we don't expect to make the team looking in?
All right, so a guy who I have, it's not, I think that he can still perform. I'm not throwing any low blows to him. But the guy I'm talking about is a wide receiver. He was drafted last year, and that's Quintez Cephus. And the reason why I talk about Quintez Cephus right now is because I think he has a lot of competition this year. And because of the competition, he could find his way out the door. It depends on really about how many receivers the Lions want to keep. And, you know, they already have Terrell Williams, Rashad Pyramid. He's a guy who could be up in there as well. But if he makes – if Pyramid makes a roster – you're looking at Amon-Ra St. Brown. Then you got Sage Surratt, who's going to be pushing him for his spot. They already have, you know, they have Khalif Raymond, who's going to be most likely going to be our kick returner this year. So I think he's going to have a roster spot this year. And he can also stretch the field as well. So it's going to be pretty tough for Quintez Cephus. Like, if they decide to go five wide receivers, he may be out the door. They decide to keep six wide receivers, you know. Are they going to keep Quintez Cephus? You know, is Quintez Cephus going to have a strong camp and preseason to keep his job? And that's the big thing. And I'm looking to see if he's going to take that next step up, because I already know these guys from last year who was drafted by Patricia and Bob Quinn, none of these guys are safe. None of these guys are safe because these are not, you know, this is not Dan Campbell's guys, you know. So it is going to be tough. And he's a guy who I think is a guy, I'm not going to say he's really on the bubble. I think he's a guy who has to prove himself and prove a roster spot this year to make this team.
I think with Quintez Cephus, it's a little bit different compared to Austin Bryant. And the reason why I say that is I think this is more of Quintez Cephus' job to lose. Like, I think he has the job right now, if we had to guess. And I think it's all in his power if he wants to make it or lose it, because I think he has the job. I think he just has to lose the job for anything to be shuffled up. I think with Austin Bryant, I think he has to legitimately prove to make this roster. I'm not saying Quintez Cephus doesn't have to prove it, but I just don't look at the competition behind Cephus, and I'm like, you know, that's a guy that could maybe be pushing him out the door. I don't know. It would shock me. I mean, I know we have a lot of UDFA free agents at that wide receiver spot, so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what those guys do, but I feel like it is Cephus' job to lose right now, and I would be a little surprised if he loses that job, but not completely shocked.
If Cephus loses this job, that's a big concern, because the wide receiver depth on this team is just not that strong.
Exactly.
Like, you have a lot of young guys and unproven guys, even your starters. Like, you can't – I don't think Tyrell Williams is a wide receiver one, and I don't think Perriman is a wide receiver two. I think Williams is more of a wide receiver two, and Perriman's a wide receiver three or four. So if Cephus doesn't make the team, that's a big concern. But you do have like guys like Sage Surratt. You have Victor Bolden, who's impressed. You do have Javon McKinley, I believe, the kid out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They also signed Goff's former college teammates at Chad Henson, I believe.
Yeah.
So there is going to be competition, but I think Cephus should make the roster. But he does need to improve. Last year, he had a lot of drops. He also had trouble tracking the deep ball. He was a great route runner, though, so that's a positive for him. So we'll see. I'm not high on Cephus, but I'm expecting him to make the team. If he doesn't, that's a big concern. I'm also expecting the Lions to probably add another wide receiver. I wouldn't be shocked if they added more receivers.
Yeah.
Because there just isn't a lot there.
Yeah, and what I mean by I think Cephus – it's his job to lose right now. I think we could all agree right now that Brad Holmes would prefer to keep a guy like Quintez Cephus on the roster just because it's a cheap rookie deal and a guy with a lot of upside. So if he doesn't make the team with this wide receiver depth, I mean, that like Peter said, that's a huge concern. But I know obviously Brad Holmes, his hope is that one of these young guys, including Quintez Cephus, could just step up and take the role and take the job of being that wide receiver four, rather than having to go out in the free agency market and sign a guy to a one-year deal. Because if that ends up happening, it just doesn't really, you know, develop anything, because that guy's just here for a one-year deal and just to, you know, carry debt for the year. If you have a guy like Quintez Cephus, that could be a legitimate wide receiver four, maybe even more in the future for you. So, or one of these UDFAs. So it's going to be interesting.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Who do you feel more comfortable at wide receiver four? Would you feel more comfortable at Sage Surratt at wide receiver four or Quintez Cephus?
I mean, I just haven't seen much of Sage Surratt. I mean, like, all I've seen is, like, reports and reading on him. Like, obviously, I know what he'd done at Wake Forest. And, like, it's just – it's tough to judge a UDFA without really, you know, again, the eye test. I feel like we'll get a way better judgment of that in training camp, like when we're allowed to go in person and when we actually watch preseason game versus other competition. I think we'll get a better judgment if I'll feel comfortable with a guy like Surratt or one of these young UDFAs, you know, to be a wide receiver four. I'd say just right now I'm more comfortable with Quintez Cephas just because we know more of him right now. But, you know, that could easily be changed in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and me personally, man, I think Khalif Raymond is a guy who may have that wide receiver four spot just because of his ability to stretch the field. And I think – I don't feel like he's the lead guy for the returner role right now. That's the way I feel right now.
I agree.
Keep an eye on Victor Bolden.
Victor Bolden is a sneaky guy. One of those sneaky guys that make the roster. Like, we have one every year, one of those sneaky guys. Like, what?
I think he's going to make it. Like, right now, I think
if Victor Bolden makes a roster, where does that leave Quintez Cephas?
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, though, with a Khalif Raymond or Victor Bolden. I don't think both make it. I think one of the two make it. But I think if either one of the two make it, I feel like that's the wide receiver five spot. And I feel like that's going to be primarily your kick returner, and maybe you use a couple gadget plays with them on the offense. But I feel like as far as a wide receiver four, I would like to say the front runner and the leader right now is Quintez Cephas. But like I said, that could easily be changed with one of these UDFAs or if Brad Holmes has to go out and invest into a veteran, you know, before the season. So it's going to be interesting. All right. Yeah. All right. So switching gears now to a guy who I think could be looking on the outside as well. And this is also a fourth round pick and a former Bob Quinn pick. And this is a pick where the Lions put a lot of emphasis into, especially into the draft. And that's Deshaun Hand. So with the defensive tackle position, you know, the Lions really loaded up that position a lot. They go out in the second and third round. They get Levi Onwuzurike in the second round from Washington. In the third round, they go from NC State and Lee McNeil. So back-to-back picks on defensive tackles. They go out in, you know, the offseason. They trade for Michael Brockers. He's a guy who has versatility to play the edge. He could play the inside as well. Obviously, you still have a guy like Trey Flowers, who is primarily a defensive end, but also has the versatility to play some three tech as well. So it's putting a tough position for a guy like Deshaun Hand, and I feel like he's in that same, you know, battle that Austin Bryant's in. It's a really loaded position, a lot of talent around you, and you're going to have to really prove yourself. And kind of the same issue with, as you know, Austin Bryant has had is the availability. You know, we've seen Deshaun Hand be good in the NFL. His rookie season, he was a very productive rookie for the Lions. And, you know, he was a guy that we were looking at potentially building around in this defensive line for him. But since that rookie season, Deshaun Hand just hasn't really done much to take that next step in the NFL. And I don't know, man. Last year he was pretty much available for this team, but he just wasn't a big impact for this team. You know, maybe some people will blame the scheme that he was in and they weren't getting the best out of him. That's possible. I mean, I guess we'll see. We know the talent's there with Hand, so it's just – could this defensive staff, you know, kind of unleash that from Deshaun Hand and maybe he could elevate to take that next step? Right now, I don't think he's a lock by any means because of how, you know, deep the defensive tackle position is and how much they invest into that position with these young guys, because we're already looking at the roster. We're already talking about some locks of the position. We're talking about Flowers. He's a lock already. Onwuzurike, obviously, he's a lock. McNeil, he's a lock, obviously. Brockers, he's a lock. And, like, we have a lot of guys at the position who are already locks of the defensive tackle position. The defensive tackle position is going to be really tough for, you know, a guy like Deshaun Hand, you know, to, you know, solidify the spot because there's a lot of competition. So, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, how he looks this camp and how he looks in preseason, if he could take that next step and be a productive player for this team and maybe just be a rotational guy. But overall, I think this is a guy that who could be potentially looking at the outside. You know, maybe the Lions look for a trade for a guy like Deshaun Hand. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. What's your guys' view on Deshaun Hand?
Yeah, like you said, like the best ability is availability. He just hasn't been available. And I kind of feel like last year injury slowed him down. He wasn't like what we saw in his rookie year. Like
not at all.
He just wasn't as impactful or as athletic like we saw. Hopefully like this year he comes back and is healthy because he has a lot of talent. The talent is there. But again, like he's dealt with injuries and also – even when he was in college, he dealt with a lot of inconsistencies. That's why he fell to the fourth. But he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. So the kid is talented. He just needs to stay healthy. and continue to develop. And we'll see if he could do that.
No, and the Lions still have some guys, and they kept a guy who's similar to a Deshaun Hand to a certain degree, Nick Williams. They decided to keep him around. That was a guy that we potentially looked, you know, early in their offseason, seeing, you know, that could be a guy the Lions move on from, but the Lions decided to keep him, gave him a pay cut. Still got guys like Pennicini. So, I mean, it's a deep position at the defensive tackle spot. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be – I think it's going to be tough for Deshaun Hand. I like to say – I don't know what to say. I wouldn't be shocked if he's on this team or if he isn't on this team right now. It's really tough to predict for him. I'm a little more hopeful for him than Austin Bryant, I would say. But still really, really tough, you know, thing to predict for Deshaun Hand. What do you think, Malcolm?
He's another guy who I talked about last week, man. He's a guy that just has a lot to prove to make this roster, because his ability to be on the field is just not there. Like, he's always hurt, and if he's not on the field, he's banged up in some way, which is hindering his performance on the field. So he just has to get it together. He has to figure it out for try to stay healthy, and he has to put some type of production on the field. I think he has 3 sacks in the years he's been here. That's awful. It's not a good number. And, you know, the Lions, he's liked by a lot of Lions fans. Like, a lot of Lions fans look highly at Deshaun Hand, thinking that he could be the next guy. But he's not on the field. So he just has to put it together. Or if not, man, if he gets injured, just like Austin Bryant, if he gets injured, we may not see Deshaun Hand on this roster. So he just has to stay healthy. And play like his rookie year, man. That's his only hope right now.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. It's gonna be tough. And like we've mentioned with all 3 guys, you know, these aren't Bob Quinn or these aren't Brad Holmes guys. These are all Bob Quinn guys. Obviously, new regime, and you know they're gonna probably favor their guys. And I think just especially the defensive tackle spot. I mean, Brad Holmes put a lot of emphasis in that position and invested a lot into that position this offseason. So. It even made Deshaun Hand's chances of making the team even thinner because, you know, we already talked about a couple locks. You know, he used 2 premium draft picks and he traded for, you know, what we think could be a future captain for the Detroit Lions team, Michael Brocker. So I don't know, man. It's going to be very interesting for Deshaun Hand. He has a lot to prove. Like Peter said, he's got the talent. It's just, could he put it on the field and, you know, could he elevate his game? We'll see. Obviously, it's a new staff, new defensive scheme, so maybe this system for him could favor him, and hopefully we can get a better Deshaun Hand. That'd be the hope, right? All right. You guys got anything else to add? Some other sleepers to look out for? Some other guys could be on the bubble?
Another guy, like, I guess we could bring up is the kid out of last year from Ohio State. So I've known Deshaun Cornell. He had a good camp, and then he ended up getting hurt. And I believe now he's suspended, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that's also could be on the chopping blocks. But the thing with him is, bro, when you're suspended, they could put him on the suspended list. And then after those 3 weeks, they could decide to keep him or release him.
Yeah. And obviously in those weeks, injuries could happen. And that spot could be more open than what it is right now. Right. So.
Right.
Another guy I would keep an eye out for as well is a former Bob Quinn draft pick as well. And this was last year's pick, Logan Stenberg. It's a deep position too in the offensive line. And he didn't really play last year. He was mainly inactive. Seemed like it was a developmental thing. It's going to be interesting to see how he looks this year because, you know, last year the reports from camp, obviously we weren't there in person because of COVID. You know, there wasn't many positive things about Logan Stenberg. You know, he was mainly like the third offense. He was playing mainly in, you know, third team offensive line. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see his development. We obviously saw what he could do at Kentucky and, you know, how he could be that Mueller in the run game. It's going to be interesting to see the development that or the step he took this year and year two for him. Obviously, offensive lineman could take some time to develop. So I'm intrigued to see what Stenberg could do. Obviously, we have some versatility with him as well. He played a little center in camp last year. I don't know how he did, but he was playing some center.
He didn't look good. He didn't look good, yeah.
And then, obviously, he's mainly known for his guard and, you know.
I wouldn't give up on him yet.
I wouldn't
just
either.
Because he was one of my favorite players last year, like as a prospect. I liked him a lot coming out. And I just don't feel like it's right to go up on him now. But again, if he doesn't fit the scheme or if he gets hurt again, if he doesn't look good again, maybe you don't have a choice but to move on.
Yeah.
Maybe he gets some value because I know there was like reports on draft day that the Bills were angry that Bob Quinn took him over them or something.
Yeah.
So maybe you could get like a 6th or 7th round pick for him. I just wouldn't give up on him yet.
I think his play style fits of what they want to do. You know, he's known to be a muller in the run game.
And he's a kneecap biter.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, he's a muller in the run game. Anthony Lynn, obviously, former running back coach, former offensive coordinator with the Chargers, really likes to get the run game going. So his best strength is getting the run game going, and something that should favor him, I feel like, come towards camp. It's not a guy necessarily being on the out, but it wouldn't completely shock me if he is on the out. But keep an eye out for him, on him for sure, though.
Right. Is that it, guys? You guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there any other guys who could be on this chopping block, or, you know, a guy could be a bubble
not
guy?
Really.
I think we mentioned basically all of them.
Yeah.
Just going through the roster real quick. Jelani Tavai is another one I keep an eye out for.
They've praised him a lot this year, so I mean.
The linebacker core is too weak for him to not make this roster. I think he has.
We'll see, though. You never know. Like, sometimes they just type up a guy and then they end up.
Somebody has to shine. Somebody has to take his spot.
If Kerryon Johnson was still on this team, I would say him. But he obviously got released.
Well, yeah.
What about what are you guys' thoughts on Will, your boy, Pierre's boy, Will Harris?
I think one, he's not
enough depth there.
But two, there is nothing at safety. So I think they're going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Hey, right. we got my boy D'Angelo Amos there.
And that is a wrap of part one of our bonus content. We have part two coming out shortly. It's just a quick Q&A of the Lions roster compared to last year's. Please tune in for that as well. And with that being said, we are out.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.